We're going to start,
and I don't know if anybody had a chance to read the lesson or not, but we're going to begin right now with Finances Part 1, okay? And this was written by Andrew Womack, who is the founder of Andrew Womack Ministries. And along with Don Crow, they put this discipleship evangelism booklet together. So we're going to be doing the lesson, and it is really him speaking through the lesson. So we all know from the Word of God that the Lord wants us to prosper financially. You know, this is something, it's in the Word, and I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. We don't preach a prosperity gospel. We preach a gospel that teaches us how to prosper. Okay? A lot of people have it all mixed up. But God wants us to prosper financially. And this should be very important to all of us. Because it really does take money. It takes money. We need money. We need money to live, okay? We need money to pay our rent, to pay our mortgages, to pay our car payments. We need money to live, okay? And exactly. And it is money. That's how we get our needs met, right? And also, God has blessed us so we can be a blessing to others. Okay? I know as a whole, as the church, we have blessed many, many, many families in this ministry. Prior to me being the pastor, this ministry blessed many, many families. When I became a pastor, we were still blessing many families that when there was a need. If we could do it, we did it, you know? So God has called us to be a blessing. This is why he blesses the ministry. This is how he blesses our lives. Listen, if we are the body of Christ, we are the church. And the way he blesses us financially is how we can be a blessing to our families, to strangers, to other ministries, to other people. So God didn't leave us alone in this area. No, he wants us to be in the know when it comes to finances, you know. He's not only concerned about, you know, your spiritual side of things, but he's concerned about your financial. He's concerned about your health also, you know. And God loves us. He loves us, and he wants us to prosper in the spirit, in our soul, and in our body. And guess what? He's already made provision for it. Just look at the cross. He made provision for God so loved the world. He sent his son. He made provision because of the Lord's death at the cross. We have everything that the Lord Jesus owned and had, and everything he did, we can do also. I said it on Sunday. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives within us. Okay? And most people recognize that some degree of financial prosperity is necessary, some degree. But religion, you know, when we think about religion, you know, it really does take it out of context. Okay? Because religion tells you, well, you know, pastors shouldn't be financially blessed, so they should be living poorly. That's how some people think. And that's crazy. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches against greed in many different ways. And it is also very clear that finances are a blessing, and they are a blessing from God. So if we go in Scripture, and if we go to the third book of John, right, chapter 2, you know, what does it say? It says, beloved. Right? I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Just as your soul prospers. So it's a combination. As you're maturing in the Lord, as your soul is prospering, aligning more and more to the Word of God, every area in your life is going to begin to be successful. It's going to prosper. You're going to prosper in health. You're going to prosper in wealth. You're going to prosper spiritually even, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's saying. So it's making a pretty strong statement because it says above all things, right? Again, talking about healing, talking about emotions, talking about relationships. It's talking about your finances. The Lord God wants us to prosper and be in health above everything else. That's pretty awesome. Above everything else. He wants you to prosper in spirit, soul, and body. And that's His will for you. Just like it is His will for all of us to be well and to be walking in divine health. That's God's will. So God's will is for you to prosper, spirit, soul, and body, because that's His will. That means to prosper even in divine health, divine wealth, in every area of your life. And again, I'm going to say it again. Many religious people actually say that God wants you to be poor. Poor. Mm-hmm. That being poor is a God thing. I never read that in the Bible. And that the poorer you are, the more godly you are. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even make sense. You know? No. You know, the lesson here says that Andrew Womack, which I know because I've heard many of his testimonies, he was raised under that kind of thinking. And that is thinking that preachers or ministers shouldn't have very much. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. That a Christian is a person who should do without? You got to be kidding me. That this is not found in the Word of God. As we know from the Old Testament and from Scripture, Abraham was the richest man of his time. So much so that the king asked him to depart because his possessions, everything he owned, right, was affecting the wealth of other countries, of other areas. So the same thing held true for Isaac and Jacob. And what about Joseph? Remember Joseph? The man of with a coat of many colors, Joseph, who was second in command to Pharaoh at one point, was the man who prospered and had super abundance. What about King David? David gave to the Lord out of his own personal treasury, and it equates to $2.5 billion worth of gold and silver, so that his son Solomon can build the most beautiful temple that was ever built in Jerusalem. Yes, Solomon, that was David's son. He was the richest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And when you look at it from the Bible, right? People who have really served God were blessed financially.
Yeah.
If you really, really serve God, you are walking in God's blessing. And you will be blessed financially. You will be blessed abundantly. You will be living the abundant life that God called you to live. You're not going to be living poor if you're serving God. Amen? And here in the Word, there are examples of people who struggled and did without. And Paul says in Philippians 4:13 that he could do all things through Christ. And he learned, as we know from Scripture, he learned to be content. He learned to be joyful in whatever situation he was in. Didn't matter what situation, Paul was content. He said he knew how to be abased and how to abound.
Yes.
And there were times when God's servants went through poverty and difficulty, but you cannot find it in Scripture that the poorer you are, the more godly you are. That doesn't even make any sense, and you will not find it in the Word of God. So I don't know how people make these things up, but it's not in the Word. It's not true. It's just not true. So don't listen to other people. You gotta get your own revelation from the Word of God. And yes, we know that greed is wrong.
Right.
Greed is wrong. And in let's go to 1 Timothy 6:10. I'm going to go there with the New King James Version. Let's see. 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Okay? So some people take that and say money is the root of all evil. But it says in Scripture, love of money, the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And as we all know, because we know people like this, there are many people that love money and don't have a dime.
Right.
Others have great wealth but don't love it. They just use it. I know a lot of people that just love, love, love to have money. I will not mention names. Just in case somebody in my family hears my message. Oh my gosh. But there are people that love money. But you know, but it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. And it says here, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So in this verse, it shows that the real purpose of financial prosperity is really seen by the Word of God. God is the one. He's your source. God is the provider here. And here in this verse, the Lord was talking to the Israelites who were about to enter the promised land and were going to experience wealth and prosperity in a way that they never had before. So He told them, "Thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth and prosperity. He's the one that establishes His covenant with His people." And He swore this. And He told them, "I swore this to your fathers as it is this day, as it is today." So according to this passage in Scripture, the purpose of prosperity is not to have an abundance of things for your own selfish purposes, but it is so you can establish God's covenant here on earth. Right? So in other words, what God is saying is that God will bless you so that you can in turn be a blessing to others.
Amen.
That's the purpose of God's blessing you. And remember, the Word of God says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns everything. God owns everything. Everything belongs to God. Let's go to Genesis 12:2. Genesis 12:2 says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." This is what the Lord God told Abraham. "I will bless thee, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing." And before you can be a blessing to anybody else, you have to be blessed yourself. Because how can you bless others if you yourself are not financially blessed or not blessed, period? Right? So we need certain things and have certain needs, right, that God wants to meet. But it goes beyond a selfish thing. The Lord wants us to prosper. He wants you to prosper so He can get His money through you so you can be a blessing to others. Okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is the scripture that Sister Vinny reads many times.
Yeah.
Let's go to, let's see. We find it. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Okay? So this tells why God is going to prosper you, so you can abound, so you can have an abundance for every good work. Right? And I mean, we have experienced that. We have experienced God's goodness. We have experienced God's prosperity, many of us. Mm-hmm. And if not all of us, because all of us should be prospering. Amen? So, you know, so what is prosperity? Is it having a nice home, a nice car, a nice, you know, good clothing? Is there food on your table? Well, according to this verse, it is having enough to meet all of your needs and abound unto every good work. So if you are unable to give to things you feel God has touched your heart about, if you're unable to, and if you would like to be a blessing to someone but are unable, then you aren't prospering financially according to what we just read in scripture. And God says He will bless you to the degree that all of your needs will be met and you'll be able to abound unto every good work. That's prosperity. That is being blessing to others. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. This is why in scripture says, you know, that God will open up the windows, the floodgates of heaven. Amen. So you can have, because there's an overflow. There's an overflow. There's enough for you and enough for other people. And if God can trust you with the little, then he's going to add the more, so he knows that he can trust you with the more, because you're going to give even more away. That's how the Lord works. And what the Word of God is saying here, that the truth about this biblical prosperity is not just to get your needs met, but so you can be a blessing to others. And if a person is thinking only of themselves, he's actually being selfish. Right? If someone says, "I'm believing God for more," right? Others may think, well, he's being greedy or selfish. But it depends on the motive of the heart. Why is that person saying he wants more? What are his intentions? Does he want a bigger house? Does he want a better car, a more luxurious car, you know? Or does he want more so he can be a blessing to more people? So if you ask God for more so you can get a bigger house or a better car, that's not right scripturally, right? That's not the attitude to have. as a believer. But if you're believing God for more because you have gone beyond seeing your own needs met, right, and want to be a blessing to other people, that is the attitude that God wants you to have because he wants us to prosper. It is his will for us to prosper and be walking in divine wealth. I call it divine wealth. That's prosperity. Because God is the source and God is divine. That's his nature. And he's our provider. And in Matthew 6:33, right? And we all know this by heart. In Matthew 6:33, it says here, but seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. So here in the lesson is saying that this verse actually talks about the things we need. Then says, if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things will be added to us. So as we, as Christians, begin to put God first, he will supply all of the other things. And all of your needs will be met, and you will be a blessing to other people. Because God does want you to prosper. But it really is dependent on your motive. What is your heart motive and your actions in this area? So Andrew finishes this lesson by saying that he prays that this has challenged you and that you're going to start believing God for his very best, which is for you to prosper, because that is God's will. God's will is for you to prosper. Like we began early in this lesson, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health and prosper in all things. And be in health just as your soul prospers. So God wants us, believers, to prosper in every area of our life. Amen? That's God. And that's amazing. I mean, just think about it. God is our source. God has blessed us with everything that we have. So we can be a blessing to others. Amen. And if you're struggling financially, I would say seek the Lord. Listen, I've been there. And you know what God told me last year? He said, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to steward your money. And I still find it very challenging. I'll be honest. It's very challenging for me to steward the money, but God is teaching me slowly, you know, God is teaching me, so I'm trying to press on, and I'm, you know, I want to trust God, you know, like we have to begin to confess, we got to begin to open our mouth, like, if you look at the checkbook, right, I don't know who's, you know, I know I still do checks, okay, but if you know, I know exactly what I have most of the time, but you got to start speaking to your checkbook and say, thank you, God, that I'm going to be writing out checks over thousands of dollars, to bless people. Thank you, God. And just begin to thank him and begin to just imagine you paying for other people's dinners. Imagine yourself giving to the church above and beyond what you're doing now. Just imagine you just being a blessing to even strangers. And I thank you, God, that there's many zeros after these numbers in my balance, you know. You got to begin to confess, you know. Proclaim, declare, decree. And that's where faith comes in, you know. Anyway, we got lesson two to go, but let's do the questions on this lesson first, okay? Because we're going to do two lessons in one today. All right. I'm going to go to my phone because Oh, no, the New Living Translation is here. I don't need to look at it. That's right. So, in 2 Corinthians 8, 7 through 8, in the New Living Translation, it says, since you excel in so many ways, you have so much faith, such gifted speakers, such knowledge, such enthusiasm, and such love for us, now I want you to excel also in this gracious ministry of giving. I'm not saying you must do it, even though the other churches are eager to do it. This is one way to prove your love is real. So this is the Apostle Paul, because he wrote, you know, the letter to the Corinthians. He's speaking to the church here. So here it says, what he's trying to say is, when you give to others in need, this is one way that you can prove. Which way can you prove when you are giving to others in need? Which is the way? What's the answer they're looking for?
Is it showing love?
Yes. Exactly. When you give to others in need, you're proving that your love is real. Because it's all about love. Remember, for God so loved the world, He gave. Right? He didn't give financially, He gave His Son. Right? Here it's talking about people, it's talking about different things. Right? But the motive, the heart motive is love. You're giving out of love. Just like God did. He gave out of love. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 8, 13 through 14, it says here, of course, I don't mean you should give so much that you suffer from having too little, right? Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help them. Then at some other time, they can share with you when you need it. In this way, everyone's needs will be met. Okay? So he's saying here, when all of us join together to give, God wants there to be some kind of what? Exactly. Everybody should give us as they can. Mm-hmm. And not only that, everybody should give because they want to give. They want to, that, and when you give cheerfully, just like the word says. You know? Yes. It will prosper you nothing if you give, you know, with an ungrateful heart. Give because God has blessed you to be a giver. Amen. You know? The other question here says, how will everyone's needs be met from the same scripture that we just read? I guess we almost answered it.
Giving to each other.
Yeah. Exactly. By giving, you know, what you can, when you can.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it says here, I don't mean you should give so much that you suffer from having too little, right? Like, you got to be mindful, right? You got to use wisdom, right?
Yes.
You know, listen, if you know, if there's a big need that somebody has, don't feel like you know, unless God tells you, don't feel that you have to meet that need. No, God is talking to different people. And he could be talking to one person in particular. So don't feel like you have to meet that need all the time. But you got to hear the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? You know, I've heard some people had, you know, Andrew Womack, the writer of this lesson. He's giving away cars over and over and over. Many times. Okay. But God told him to do it. And guess what? He got blessed with a brand new car later on. Because God knows all things. Right? So, but anyway, gotta use wisdom. You gotta hear the voice of the Lord.
This is going back to Second Corinthians 9, where he's saying, when you give, and then when you come in need, someone else will give to you.
Amen.
So he gave a card, but guess what? He got blessed with a new card.
Exactly. Yes, and he's giving away many cars. He's even, just to share something about Andrew, he was very, 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 very poor. Poor. When he got, and he'll tell you the story, when he got married, he came from a Baptist church. It was his fault. He just didn't think he needed to work. He really believed that God was going to supply all the need without working. So his wife, his family suffered a lot. Hardly went days without eating. He didn't really understand scripture. But slowly he began, and he began to get revelation. And today he's, forget it. Today he's got a few ministries, and he runs a college, a Bible college. He's been running it for 30 years, and he still lives very humbly, very humbly. He doesn't own a mansion, nothing like that. He's a very humble man, and he still lives very close to the ministry where he's at. All that to say that, you know what? He was faithful with the little that God gave him, and God was able to trust him with much more. Amen? Ephesians 4:28. It says here, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. So this question is asking, the person that has been a thief, right, should steal no more, but rather should begin to work and make their own living. What does Ephesians 4:28 also say they should do?
Mm-hmm. That he may have to give to him that needed.
Yes. Yeah, so here what it's saying, that he should give to the poor and those that are in need.
Those that are in need, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be, you know, to... I think somewhere in scripture, I don't know which one, but it says here, you know what, if you don't work, you shouldn't, you don't eat, right? You have no right to eat, okay? God wants you to work. This is why he blessed the work of your hands. And that's what prosperity is, in the work of your hands. As a matter of fact, we got to start declaring, we got to start thanking God. God, thank you that you have blessed the work of my hands. Thank you, God, for my promotion. Thank you, God, for the increase in my family. And just begin to thank God. Amen. Remember the fish, right? The fish and the five fish and the two loaves that the little boy had, and God needed to feed the multitude. And Philip is like, there's not enough here. Are you out of your mind? Do you see how many people are there? And what would the Lord say? He took the loaf and the fish, and he thanked God the Father. He thanked him. And he wasn't thinking lack. He wasn't thinking poverty. He wasn't thinking none of that. He says, you know what? Going to thank God the Father, and supernaturally, over 5,000 men and women and children were fed, and they had leftovers. Supernaturally, that just multiplied. So all that to say is that we got to begin to thank God for our finances. Let's not curse our jobs. Listen, I was I used to do that, okay? I used to complain about work. Let's not curse our jobs because God has placed you there with purpose. And if you can be faithful where you're at, God can move you and promote you and increase you. And maybe he's got purpose for you to be there. But you know what? We got to bless our jobs. We got to bless the work of our hands. And just watch how God will begin to multiply what you have. Amen? Let's go to the next question. Okay, Genesis 13:2. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And Genesis 12:2 says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." This is what God told Abraham, okay? And so God could trust Abraham with riches because Abraham was not just thinking about himself, but was a blank to others. Amen. And this, again, he wasn't being selfish. He was putting others in front of him. And this is why, how God blessed Abraham. And listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and he will continue to be forevermore. So in the same way that God blessed Abraham, guess what? He's already blessed us too. Amen. Abraham, God bless Abraham and his generations to come. We're part of his generation, and God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17-18, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." Right? I mean, we are enjoying the blessings of God. "Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give generously to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them." Amen? So, what three things is the rich to do with their money? And we can mention more than three. Right? But what three things?
Not to be proud, not to trust in your money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what three things is the rich
to do good?
Exactly.
Right.
What else?
They should give generously to those who need.
Yes, exactly.
Generous.
What other?
Always be ready to share with others.
That's it. Yep, that's it. Do good, give generously, and share with those in need, with other people. That's the main purpose in these two verses. Amen. And this is just a question: can God trust you with finances? It's for you to answer. It's for your eyes only. How's that? Can God trust you? You don't need to answer me. Can God trust you with your finances? With finances. Because, again, remember, the Word of God says, if you're faithful with the little, then God can trust you with more. Because God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. But if you're not grateful with what you have, like we read about Paul was content in any situation he was in. He was just content. And he still preached the gospel. And people gave to him. Amen. So if God can trust you with what you have now, trust me, he will trust you with much more. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to part two. Finances part two.
Part two.
Amen. I hope you were blessed with that lesson. Amen. It's great. You know, it's great. I think it's so good to be speaking about finances. So we know that. Huh?
It's an eye-opener.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in the...
You know what it is? The people are so afraid of giving.
They are. And they're missing out. You can't live life not giving something, right? Because, you know, whatever you give, it's a seed, right? It's a financial seed. And when you give a financial seed, it just comes back to you 100-fold all the time. That's how God works, you know. And I think this lesson is gonna expand on that a little more.
Yeah, it will. I was reading it before I got on, and I go, okay, you know, it's not just. Well, I'm never saying
it. Yeah. But here, you know, again, you know, we know that it's God's will for Him to prosper us. That's what He wants us to be in to walk in the abundance, to walk in divine wealth. God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. We read it before in 3 John, you know, 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, and be in health just as your soul prospers. So, you know, but there are keys, right, to how this works. So he begins in Luke 6:38. Another famous scripture, right? We've heard it over and over. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you do it, it shall be measured to you again. Back to you. So with the same measure that you give, it will be measured back to you. And there are many principles involved. But honestly, we can't talk about prosperity without talking about giving. Right. You got to give something to get something. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Lord. The Lord gave and we received. The Lord gave His most precious Son. And look all the benefits. Just go to Psalm 107. Look at all the spiritual benefits that we have from God giving His only begotten Son. So we cannot talk about prosperity without talking about giving. And when we talk about financial prosperity, you know, many people will say, all right, so God wants us to prosper, but we don't have anything to give. But we can see in the Bible where the Lord Jesus talked about the widow who put her last two mites into the offering.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been watching the rich people putting huge sums of money. Yet he called his disciples together, the Lord Jesus, and said, this woman gave more than all of them. And he said this because they gave out of their abundance. They had much more money to give. So they gave out of their abundance. But this lady, this widow, right? She gave more because she gave out of her poverty. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
She put only two little mites into the offering. Two little mites. The other people, they gave out of their abundance, right? But she gave out of, she really had nothing. She gave everything she had. She gave out of her lack, her poverty. So God doesn't evaluate the size of your gift by its monetary value, right? But rather by the percentage of what you had to give. So when a person says, I don't have anything to give, that's not a true statement, right? If nothing else, you can take a piece of clothing, right, you have, and give it away. Don't we do that? Don't we give food away? We give clothing away? So we always have something to give because God has blessed us with everything we have. There's always something to give. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something to give. So we need to do away with this argument that we don't have anything to give. That's not true. So, as a matter of fact, you know, it says here, the time you seem to have little of anything is when your giving can be a greater percentage than any other time.
Yes.
A person who has $10 and gives away $5 has given a much larger gift than someone who gives $1 million when they have billions and billions left. That's the analogy that Andrew's making here. Can you see it, right? So God set it up so every single person can give. And it's true. We all have been blessed. We have something to give. We have something to offer. Why did God tell us to give? Well, there are many, many things involved. But one of the main purposes is that God wants you to trust Him in every area of your life.
Yeah.
If there isn't a God, and if His word isn't true when He says, give and it shall be given unto you, taking a portion of what you have and giving it away, right, is the most, Andrew says here, the stupidest thing you could ever do. Instead of moving toward the goal of having all your needs met, you're actually moving away from it if God hasn't promised to bless you. But again, it takes faith to be able to give the way God says. That's the reason He told you to do it. It takes faith. And there's so many people, like Sister Rosie says, so many people are so afraid to give for whatever reason. And what is the bottom line? It takes faith. And faith is combined with trust. If you need to trust God. If you trust God, then you have faith to trust Him. And many people, they're just afraid to give, right? Now, it says here in Luke 16, there is a parable, right, in the Word of God about a steward who cheated his master. And it finally comes down to this. He says, if you haven't been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about money, right? Mammon is another word for money. Then who will commit to your trust the true riches? So if you haven't believed God in the smaller things, right, concerning money, how are you going to get to the more important things, such as spiritual values? So the Word of God says, scripture like this says, right, to make money, right, one of the least levels of stewardship. So it's making money one of the least levels of stewardship. So if you can't trust God with your finances, how can you trust God with your eternal destiny. Which Andrew's making a great point here. How can you truly believe the Lord Jesus has forgiven your sins and that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? So he's saying here, in comparison, the spiritual things, right, that we supposedly put our faith in the Lord for are much more significant than money. I mean, just think about it. Think about how you place your faith in the Lord. You are born again Christian. Why? Because you place your faith in God. Wasn't our faith, it was God's faith. We believe God. And we confess with our mouth, right? And we believe in our hearts. And we put our faith in the Lord. But compare that to money. Money is a minor thing. But it's the bottom line of starting to trust God. We need to trust God with our finances. Proverbs 11:24 says that there are some that give away more than it looks like is necessary, and yet they prosper. And there are others that tend to hoard what they have, and it only causes poverty on the inside of them.
Yeah.
Right? Think about this scripture, right? They give away more than what's necessary, but yet they prosper. But others that tend to hoard their money, it's only causing them to be in lack. That's what it's really saying. Again, I'm gonna say this is, we're talking about financial feats here. If you're not giving some financial, if you're not depositing financial seed, it may cost you to live in poverty. Because God has blessed you with finances so that you can be a blessing to others. And be a blessing to organizations and be a blessing to other ministries. Even be blessing to your own families, right? But if you're hoarding that with money, which God has blessed you with, is not God causing poverty. You're doing it to yourself. Because it's just what you sow, you will reap. And if you're not sowing, you're not reaping, correct? So you got to sow financial seeds so that you can reap the benefits of it. Amen. It's just a law, you know. It's a law, just like gravity. What you drop in the air, it's gonna get to the floor. It's gonna get to the bottom. It's gravity. It's a law. So if we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, then He will add all these things to you. If you say you want God to help you in your finances and you're praying for His help, but you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, then you're not really taking a step of faith or trusting Him with your finances and giving. Then you really are not trusting God. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So when we seek God and all His righteousness first, we're putting our trust in Him. We're praying to God. God's already blessing us. We're in the Word. When we seek first the kingdom of God, that means we're in the Word. We're reading. We're studying. We're praying. And God, and we recognize that God is our source, and we are thanking Him for it. But if we're not putting God first, then we're not really walking by faith. We're not really trusting Him. We're not really declaring the Word. We're not really thanking Him. We're not really proclaiming the Word. That means you're just doing your own little thing. But the Word of God says, seek first. seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's going to fall into place. And whatever the word says, all his promises will come to pass. And will come to pass. And will come to pass. It's a daily thing. Because this is a daily living. We don't serve God just once a week, twice a week, three times a week. No, we serve God every single day. And every single day we should be prospering in every area of our lives, including in our finances. But you gotta trust God. You gotta plant a financial seed somewhere. I plant financial seeds in ministries that I know are teaching the Word of God. First is this ministry, Beacon of Light Church, and then I plant financial seeds in other areas. And God has blessed me time and time and time and time again, even with promotions. Going from grade 6 to a grade 11, that was a huge jump in salary. God did that. Look at the ministry, Beacon of Light Church. At one point, it was Promise Christian Ministries. We were at a negative at one point. At a negative. And yet, the way God blessed this ministry, we were able to purchase a piece of land. We gave down a nice chunk of down payment. We're paying a mortgage now. Yes, we are paying a mortgage, but we have a piece of land that we are going to be building on. And God is our source. He's our provider. And we are declaring the word of God, and I am confessing the word, proclaiming the word, decreeing the word of God, that if he did it then, he can do it again and again and again, because his people are faithful to the ministry. And God owns all, and he is the source of everything. And whatever need we have as a ministry, he will supply, and it has already been supplied, because God is good. And we are trusting him. And if God was able to trust us by purchasing the land, I know he can trust us for more, because we are being good stewards of his finances. They're not my finances. They are the church's finances, the ministry finances. They are God's finances. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's go to the questions. We have a few more questions here. John 3:16. Everybody knows this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So what motivated God to give? Oh my goodness. Yeah, we've been talking about it, right? That's right. Love. Love. Love is the motivator here. His love. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not love, it profits me nothing. So the motivation behind our giving must be what? Same. Yep. It's the same. Because that is the motivation behind everything. Behind anything and everything from the gospel is love. Because God is love. And seeking the welfare and benefit of others regardless of how we feel. That's love. Yeah. When you put others in front of you, that's love. And that's what God did. Okay? All right. James 2:15-16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding to give them those things which they are in need of to the body, what does it profit? So, the author here wants you to explain this verse. What is it really saying?
Yeah, look at the need. What is it that they need the most? That's what they could have focused on, but they did not.
Yeah.
But they didn't get what they needed.
Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 95% of all love is nonverbal, correct? 95% of love is nonverbal. So that means exactly. It's not really what we say, it's really what are we doing about it. If somebody tells me they're hungry and you do nothing, what good is it doing?
Right.
Zero. Zero. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we recall the Word of God says that what you do unto others, you're actually doing unto me. So when we clothe the naked, when we feed the hungry, when we go visit the prisoners, what we're doing unto others, we're actually doing it unto God. Because those others are also made in the image of God. People, there's value in people. God values every single human being. All of them. This is why he came for the world. Amen? So, again, actions do speak louder than words. Okay?
And again, you know, when you see someone in need, if you don't give,
right. And again, you know, like I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that, you know, we know there's people out there asking and they don't really need it. Okay. But again, you got to hear, what is the Spirit of the Lord telling you? What is God telling you? Ask the Lord. Lord, should I give money? Should I give them food? Should I give them, Lord, you know their needs better than I do. I know nothing. But Lord, what can I do for this individual?
Right.
You know? Ask the Holy Spirit. Luke 6:38, right? We've read this before. Give, and it shall be given to you, right? Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. So the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So here it says, what is this verse saying to you? What is it saying to you? Right. If you give small, you're going to get back small. If you give big, you're going to get back big. Right? What you sow, you will reap. That's what it's saying to me. What you sow into people's lives, what you sow into a ministry, what you sow into other, into your, you know, I guess your own family, you're going to reap back. So, let's get away from finances. Listen, if you give people a bad attitude, guess what? You're going to receive bad attitude, you know? You're going to get bad attitude back from people. Listen, what you do, it comes back to you. That's just the law, right? That's just, hey, listen, that's kingdom law right there. What you sow, you will reap. You sow love, you're going to get back love. You sow strife, guess what? You're going to live in strife. Because what you do, it's going to come back at you. God doesn't cause that. You're causing it yourself. We do that to ourselves. Been there, done that, right? We're not there no more, right? We're not there no more. Praise God. Okay, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Did God give out of his riches or according to his riches? Explain the difference. That's right. He does.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned that before. He gave everything he had. Right?
Okay.
He gave everything to redeem us. His only begotten son.
Yes.
And that was according to his riches. So according to his riches, he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. So when you give to the poor, what are you doing? I didn't even know that was here. Okay. Exactly. Again, what you do unto others, you're doing it unto the Lord. So when you give to the poor, you're actually lending to the Lord. Yeah. And will God pay you back? Man, time and time and time again, he is a source, and he's got living water. So finances is just an overflow, just like his anointing. It's an overflow. It's an overflow. And as you use the anointing of God, he just replenishes it. It's just. He fills it up. He continues. There's an overflow. This is what God does. He's our source. He's our source of strength, peace, joy, energy, whatever it is you need him to be. That's God. His grace is sufficient for us. This is why we need to lean on his grace, his favor, his strength. His joy, grace encompasses a number of things, just like salvation does, right? When we are saved, it's not just salvation. It includes blessings, deliverance, restoration, healing. Well, grace is the same way. And God will pay you back in an overflow. It's his grace. It's by his grace. By his grace. Amen. Psalm 41:1-3. New Living Translation. And it says here, all the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them in times of trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and eases their pain and discomfort. So name 5 things that God does for those who give to the poor.
Health.
Yes.
He rescues them in time of trouble, protects them and keeps them alive, gives them prosperity, and rescues them from their enemies, and nurses them when they are sick.
That's right.
Eases their pain and discomfort. And so they don't.
Amen. Look at everything. I mean, You know, I never realized. Maybe the New Living Translation. I don't know how the New King James reads it, but it's enlightening me because I don't remember reading scripture. I don't remember reading this way what God does for those, you know, when we give to the poor. But this is, again, this is like a light bulb going on, right? But, you know, there's so many benefits. Like, we don't give to receive. We give because God gave. God gave me a brand new life. God. Mm-hmm. I give because I'm giving thanks to God. When I give to the ministry, it's a form of worship for me. It's giving thanks to God for everything He's done. God, I'm paying it forward. That's what I'm doing. You know, long time ago, you know, one of my family members, when I was a single parent with two children, when we said goodbye to each other, he just placed, he just took my hand, and without anybody looking, he just put money in my hands. I didn't ask for it, you know, or anything like that, but, you know, I've never forgotten that. At a time when I needed some finances, because I was struggling with two little kids, a family member placed money in my hands, and one day I watched a movie called Pay It Forward. This was years ago, probably like 20 years ago, and God reminded me of when that family member gave me money and put it in my hands, and I almost heard the Lord say, now you pay it forward. What they did for you, now you do unto others. Mm-hmm. And give generously, and bless others. I bless you so you can be a blessing. And now, you know, 20 years later, I was more financially stable than I was when I was a single parent with two small kids, you know. But I never forget that, you know, it was a way for me to pay it forward. And I continue to pay it forward because, you know, I'm just grateful with everything that God has done, you know, not just financially, but everything that He's done in my life, you know. He's taken me out of that dark pit that I was in. And He's brought me into His palace, you know what I mean? You know, He turned my mourning into dancing. You know, He turned my ashes that I was messing with into beauty. You know what I mean? He's done so much for me that, you know, how I cannot do what He's called me to do, especially through the Word of God. No, I'm going to continue to pay it forward in every area that I can. Time, you know, in love, whatever, you know, the same measure that I give out, that's how I'm going to be receiving. So, and I'm blessed, you know, I am truly blessed, just as we all are. We're blessed, you know, we're God's children. We're blessed, period. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to ask any comments, anything that you got from this, these two lessons that, you know, I want to add to the recording. It's a good learning lesson, right? Yeah. You know, because we can learn. We can always learn a lot from Scripture. Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
Trusting God, no matter what.
Yes. Amen. Amen.